So, you know, how many, you know on Facebook, right, there's this new feature, right, on Facebook where you get to say, you know, you get to see what happened on this day maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what that thing looks like. Well, four years ago, it was 2012 and I was living in Orlando, and it was Pride. It was coming out with Pride in Orlando, and I received a phone call, okay, and it was a 727 number, and I said, I don't know where 727 is. I have no clue. It said Florida, and that's about it, and I'm like, I don't know nobody in Florida. I thought it was a guy I was dating. I was like, oh, I don't know, but it was Reverend Candace. She says, this is Reverend Dr. Candace Schultes. I said, okay. Said, am I in trouble? She said, I want you to know that we want to bring you in for an interview for this position. I said, you're a Marine officer, right? What time do you need me? And so that next week, I packed up my blazer, which you all know was a mess, and decided to make my way. It took me an hour to get through Orlando, and when I finally changed clothes in Lakeland, I said, oh, I'm home free. I'm in Tampa with like 20 minutes to spare. And I said, I'm almost there. And then I saw a sign, 20 miles to St. Petersburg. I said, oh, God, I'm late for this interview. So I had never gone down the Howard Franklin Bridge so fast in my life. Get to the interview, and I meet this man. Hello, I'm Jerry Small. Hey, Jerry. Jerry asked me a question during the interview. He said, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Do you remember this? And I said, here's where I see myself 5 years from now. And I said, but I also have a plan about 10 years later if you want to hear that too. Well, of course, I won him over just by smiling at him. So I was all good to go. So after the interview, I was working as a paid canvasser, and again, I got a phone call that was 727, and I knew it was Reverend Candace, and she said, well, I have a question for you. I said, okay, how would you like to come to St. Petersburg? I said, for a visit? No, how would you like to work for King of Peace? And I said, yes, I would. That was 4 years ago. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here, because you gave me a chance. And I want to say thank you to all of you for allowing me this opportunity to piss you off. Been there, done that. To love you in your best and worst moments. To support you at all aspects of your life. To be there in your congregational life. And to be there in your spiritual growth. I love you and I thank you for that so much. And I say all that because we're not done yet. I say all that because we are at a pivotal moment in our history as a denomination. You know, many of us know the story, and if not, I want you to know that we forever changed the landscape of American Christianity. Amen. We did. In 1968, a man had a dream. He was a Southern, former Pentecostal who talk like I do, who felt called by God, came out after being married, got kicked out, moved to L.A., and said, I'm done. I'm done. He felt like God didn't love him. He attempted suicide in a bathtub. And he said, as he was in that bathtub, he heard a still, small voice say, Troy, I love you. I have no stepsons or stepdaughters, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all together. I love you unconditionally. And I want you to know, because of that bathtub conversation, we are here celebrating 48 years this year. On his first Sunday, he put on his robes in a small house outside Los Angeles, put on his robes, walked down the stairs into the living room, and found 13 people in his congregation. 13 people. His roommate became the music minister. They played the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And they sounded so sweet, like our music team does now. The offering was less than $10. But it was that $10 that started a movement. 48 years later, UFMCC is still going strong today. Today is a big day for our denomination. We've only had two moderators in our entire 48-year history. And as of 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're about to have a third. A gifted and intelligent, spiritually sound leader who cares for all of the churches and has an intense heart for our ministry. But as we know, in our 48-year history, it wasn't all glitz and glamour. There were state laws criminalizing sexuality. There still is. There are virtually no protections or freedoms. We were relegated as second-class citizens. We still sometimes feel like second-class citizens. And then how can we forget the 80s and the 90s? We still face persecution from outside and inside our community. It's hard being on the margins. It's hard. But maybe the story from Jesus can really speak to our trials and how we shouldn't lose faith or heart. In our passage today, we see a judge and a widow going toe-to-toe. But there's much more than that going on. And I have three concepts.
No.
Oh, I thought long and hard about these three. Where this story in our scripture can parallel our work as a denomination and how we can still stay strong 48 years later. Amen. Our first lesson that we learn in our passage this morning is persistence. Persistence. As we read this morning, our widow immediately teaches us about persistence and how we need to keep on being determined despite odds that may or may not be stacked in our favor. Now, we have seen widows a lot in our gospel. We've seen widows a lot in our scriptures, both Hebrew and New Testament. Widows in the Bible teach us a lot. There are many examples of how widows teach us about our faith and our spirituality. There's the widow that only gives what she can, but she gives everything she had to the temple. Do y'all know that story? Jesus condemns the scribes and Pharisees who devour widows' houses in the Gospel of Luke. But before we begin to think that they were all meek and mild and vulnerable, one commentator reminds us that they are more than that. Widows appear as prophetic, active, and faithful. And that includes our widow this morning. Another commentator reminds us that her persistent petitioning is identified as an image of and lesson in prayer. Jesus reminds us of the power of prayer over and over again, and he encourages his followers to be persistent and to trust in God's parental and loving faithfulness. Who believes in the power of prayer today?
Amen.
Prayer still works. Prayer still works. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for prayer. Prayer is how I get through. Prayer is how I get through. It's not easy, but prayer is how we make it. In our 21st century world, it's hard to look around us and see good things going on. It's hard to see how God is present in this world. Sometimes we may even wonder if God still works here, if God is still present, if God is still a visible reality in this world, don't we? It's hard for us to look around and see all the chaos and the cacophony of noise and all these other problems taking place, not just around us, but inside us. There is a lot of suffering in this world. A lot of suffering in this world. But I firmly believe this, that nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I don't believe that God is going to leave me. Right? Nobody told me. Do y'all want me to sing it? Nobody told me that the road would be easy, and I don't believe God's brought me this far to leave me. I can't believe I just did that. Folks, we have to keep pressing on. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. We must keep moving forward. I believe when Troy Perry heard that message, he said, enough. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. But I believe that God said to him, hold on, because I'm going to make a way out of no way. Just keep your eye on the prize and you never let go of my hand. Never let go. God is saying to us today, I am about to do a good thing in this world. Because through you, I have not ended, I have only just begun. Persistence, we got to keep on keeping on. Number two, justice. Justice. We see the widow finally persisting in her case because the judge, the one who is in a position of power, gives the widow justice, finally relents and gives the widow justice. But at the end of our parable this morning, we see Jesus flipping the message by reminding us that God will grant justice to the vulnerable who cry to God day and night. One commentator reminds us of justice in this text by reminding the reader of what's ahead in Jesus' life. See, as Jesus was speaking, he was on the way to Jerusalem to a destiny that involved a cross and death. Jesus knew that time was coming soon as he traveled, and he knew that he was chosen for such a time as this. And at first glance, when we are thinking and reminded of that cross, we see Jesus, the Son of God, being that vulnerable and crying out to commend his spirit to his Abba before letting out that final breath. The commentator continues by saying that it was in that moment that gives us perhaps the best picture of God's justice. God does not delay long, 3 days only, before granting justice to that vulnerable one who prays from the cross. Life is what God grants Jesus as judgment on all unjust judgments. See, death is not the end. Resurrection is the truth. I believe God's ultimate act of justice goes hand in hand with God's amazing grace. With God's amazing grace. When we think about God's amazing grace, we think of how God has never left us behind, and that God's grace and God's justice is sufficient and can cover all, no matter who you are, no matter whosoever you are. I believe it was God's grace that spoke to Troy in 1968, and I believe God's grace spoke to me in Durham, North Carolina in 2005 when I first found this MCC. When I first discovered MCC, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just a weird, funked-out Baptist church. Boy, was I wrong. Sitting in the back pew, knowing that God was done with me. Knowing that God was done and that I was going to stay in one corner and God was going to stay in His. And I use that language intentionally. But God said, I'm not done with you yet. God says, I'm not done with you yet. God's amazing grace catapulted me into a place where I would find love and justice, grace and acceptance beyond all comprehension. I believe that's God's grace today. I believe God's grace is still in this church. I believe that God's grace is still in this congregation. And if you want to see a physical example, turn to your left. No, do it. Turn to your left. You see the person next to you? That's an example of God's amazing grace. Amen. Now, turn to your right. That is another person of God's amazing grace. Hold on to that grace. God's grace is sufficient for this world. God's grace is still present. God is still working in this world because we still have God's grace in this world today. Yes. Where would we be were it not be for God's amazing grace? So when we connect God's justice and the power of God's amazing grace, we get our final lesson, the idea of faith. Talk amongst yourselves. Our scripture passage ends with Jesus asking his disciples a simple question. And it says in our scripture passage this morning, "And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Our gospel points to numerous encounters where people are commended by Jesus for their faith. The centurion who is cured, whose slave is cured by Jesus. The woman who anoints Jesus' feet. The friends of a paralytic who have to bring him down and on a roof to be healed. The woman who was unclean and was healed by Jesus. The Samaritan leper from last week's sermon passage. The blind beggar who calls and sees Jesus for exactly who he is. Another commentator points out, a beginning of the answer to the question appears to be that the Son of Man will find faith, but it may be in unexpected places. Not among the religious professionals or the ones certain of their own righteousness, but among the outsiders, the unlovely, the unclean, the ones certain of their sinfulness. To me, I think that's the future of our denomination. I think that's the future of who we are as a congregation and as a movement. To bring people back to the idea that faithfulness is not about rules or religion. Faithfulness is about going within our heart to connect to God's heart. Faithfulness is not about regulation and dogma and what you should and shouldn't do. Faithfulness is about freedom and joy. Faith is not about merely walking on water. Faith is not about merely walking on water. It's about changing lives to know they can walk on water. That's what faithfulness is all about. I learned that in the short 11 years, it hasn't been 30, but in 11, I've been with MCC. I thank God for the countless number of people who practically and radically persisted through all the times of trials and tribulations, ups and downs, who persisted and brought God's justice on earth and taught faith to God's people. I stand on their shoulders. I am who I am today because I stand on your shoulders. Those of you who have fought tirelessly, advocating for everybody, who still are. And because of them and because of you, we are here together to continue fighting and bringing about active change in this world. To know simply that God loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This morning, I believe we are on the threshold of greatness. We are on the threshold of greatness. The question is, are we willing to look back, revel in the so-called glory days and say, thank you, we're done? Or are we willing to persist, put on our breeches and our gloves, bring God's justice to this world, teach faith, knowing that the best is yet to come? Are we willing to do that as a congregation and as a people? Amen. I'm going to ask that again. Are we willing to look back, fold our hands, and say we're done? Or are we willing to keep moving forward knowing that the best is yet to come? Yes. My prayer for you this morning is to keep on keeping on. Keep knowing that God will provide justice. And always teach faith. Someone needs us now more than ever. And it's up to us to make it happen. Amen, amen. And amen. Let us pray. Precious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for this time we have together. We thank you for these 48 years, and God, we are so grateful that we have persisted because of your unfailing grace. We thank you for this time, God, that we have, that we can stir our hearts to focus on the faith that you teach us so we can go out and change this world. Be with us and remain with us now and evermore. Amen.